Well, again, good morning, church. Wonderful to see you all. It's always nice to have the choir back. Just nice to have, right, just beautiful sounds come fluttering in. And surely we've got Bell Choir coming up soon, and we're looking forward to that as well. Just the additional music is always so appreciated. So thank you all very much. You know, over the last 3 weeks, we have been working our way through the letter the Apostle Paul sent to the church in Colossae, better known as Colossians. And over the past week, there was a Facebook meme that was going around that summarized Paul's letters. And it really, I think, hits it right on the head. And so if you want to understand what Paul is writing in all of his epistles, there are five things that he writes about pretty much every time. Grace to you, hello. I thank God for you. Hold fast to the gospel. For the love of everything holy, stop making bad choices. And Timothy says hi. Right, those are the five things that are included in all of Paul's letters. And if you're curious about where we're at today, we're at number three. Right, hold fast to the gospel. That's kind of the section that we're in. And that being said, let's read our scripture this morning from Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 through chapter 2, verse 5. Paul writes, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for the many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they can understand, or that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, you know, something you may not know about me, but I love to plan. I like thinking ahead about things and figuring out, you know, like what are, you know, next steps and things like that. So much so that, you know, it's happened more than once. Jan Sophia and I will be on vacation. And while we're on vacation, I'm planning the next vacation. And Jan really loves that. She loves it when I do that kind of stuff, you know. She will turn to me and say, "Chris, enjoy this vacation. Stop thinking about the next one." And I think the reason why I like planning is because if you want to get to the proper destination, it helps you to know where you're going. And this is true in everything that we do. That if you're going into training, you need to know what you're training for. Are you training for a golf tournament? Are you training for a marathon? Are you training for a weightlifting competition, right? The type of event will make a difference in how you train. The person who's getting ready to bake cookies needs to know what kind of cookies they're going to bake in order to plan for what ingredients they need to buy at the store. And the church cannot be effective unless it knows where it's heading. If we want to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, we need to know his vision for us. If we want to become mature, we need to know what maturity means. And in our text this morning from Colossians, Paul is sharing his desires for the church, what he wants to see the church become. And as he shares his heart and his passion, what he is doing is sharing God's heart for us. You know, what does God want for us? What does God desire for us? And I would say the first thing that we read is that God desires that we would have a strong faith even in the midst of difficult times. Right, Paul says in verse 2, "I want them to be encouraged." And the word that Paul uses here for encouraged is the word paraclete. And sometimes this word means comfort, and sometimes it means to exhort. But every time it's used, it conveys this sense of enabling someone, helping someone to meet a difficult situation with confidence and strength. You know, one of the indicators of a mature faith, then, is strength even when times are tough. You take a stroll through the book of Psalms, and you will hear this repeated over and over and over again. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 9:9. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. My help comes from the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 2. The psalmists were able to decide, to determine, to hang on because they had a confidence in God. They knew God's character. They knew that God was sufficient for every need that they had. They knew that God loved them. They knew that God was faithful. And it's this kind of faith that Paul wants for the church. He wants to see us as a group of people who see by faith and not by sight. You know, I know there are many people in our church right now that are going through a very difficult season. There's the physical problems and relational problems, professional, financial, spiritual problems. And you're just not sure how much longer you're going to be able to hang on. You're feeling exhausted. You've tried to be faithful, but you just have nothing left to give. But here's the truth. Your strength for difficult times does not reside in your ability. It resides in God's ability. And so you may be weary, but he isn't. He is strong. The Lord knows what he is doing. And so rest back into him and trust him. Next, Paul would say that God desires that we would be united in love. You know, even a casual reading of Scripture will quickly convince you that one of the hallmarks of the church is that they are supposed to have an uncommon love in the midst of the world. He tells the Colossian church, you know, that he prays that they might be knit together by strong ties of love. Commentator Gary Sidiser writes, diversity strengthens a church only if mutual love first unites it. Without such love, diversity will divide and destroy the church every time conflict erupts. This unity of love will protect us from becoming prisoners to ourselves, to our pet doctrines, rituals, causes, programs, movements, or methods. It will also keep us from using the faults, errors, excesses of other believers to excuse our own. You know, love within a church is a magnetic power. I mean, all of us are longing to find a place where we are loved. Loved not for what we can contribute, but being loved for who we are. I mean, this is what the church is supposed to be. I mean, this is what the body of Christ should exhibit and inhabit. That we are to treasure one another. We should be spotlighting other gifts and abilities in each other. That we should celebrate the gifts and the abilities of others without feeling like we have less or feeling resentful. We should rally around each other in times of sadness and loss. We need to allow people to have bad days and are quick to forgive. We should be kind to one another. We should defend one another. We should be willing to do things differently than we would necessarily choose for ourselves. And we do it for the honor of Christ. I mean, this is the kind of love God desires for us. And this is the kind of love that would drive the world to the church, because who wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that? Paul goes on to say that God desires that we would have knowledge and understanding. Paul says that our faithfulness and love for each other will lead to this, that I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him, in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul tells the church at Rome in the book of Romans that the way to resist the world's push to conform was to renew their mind, right, from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And one of the ways that we renew our mind is to continue to grow in our wisdom and understanding of the gospel. Right, these two words, knowledge and understanding, denote what is needed is more than simply factual information. It's more than head knowledge what we need. We need to know why these things are important and how they relate to our lives. In other words, we need to seek a deeper relationship, a deeper understanding of Christ so that it can flow out of us then and into the world. You know, one of the things we learn by watching or playing sports is that one of the worst things a team can do is to become content. Because when a team becomes content, they lose their edge. That's when the fire goes out. That's when they're most primed for defeat. And so to withstand the attacks of the enemy, we must continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Right? It's not enough to grow simply in information. We must seek out the truth, acknowledge it, commit it, and then live it out. Right? Because the knowledge and the wisdom of God, it changes us, it transforms us. You know, Paul says that God desires for us to be discerning in confusing times. Paul says that I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. And the Bible warns us to be aware of false teachers. And Paul shares this in another one of his writings in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject truth and chase after myths. Now, not everyone who sounds like an expert is an expert. There will always be people who speak authoritatively about God's will, but have no idea of what the Bible says. When someone talks about God, we simply don't receive that information as gospel. But we need for ourselves to be able to read God's word and to discern whether this person is speaking truth or not. We need to ask good questions of everyone, myself included. Is what is being taught, does it match up with God's word or doesn't it? Because something that sounds good isn't necessarily something that is good. Most deception comes in brightly colored packages, and we've got to see beyond the polished words and the slick presentations. You know, perhaps the biggest part of us becoming the church that God desires is to make sure that we are in Christ, that we need to begin with him, right? Because that's where it all starts. And if so, I would encourage you to stop depending upon your efforts to be good enough. You know, the whole message of the Bible, the whole message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save those who could not save themselves. He gave his life as a payment for our sins, for our wickedness, for our rebellion. God knows all the things about us that we don't want anybody else to see or know about. He sees all of that and he still loves us. Because you matter to God. And if you've never done so, I would encourage you to begin with Christ today, to give your life to him, right? In an act of simple trust, simply confess your unworthiness, confess your sinfulness, and claim his gift of grace. And tell Jesus that you need him, And if you have made this commitment, perhaps you've listened to these characteristics that Paul has described for us today about being faithful in struggle, about being loving, about growing in wisdom and knowledge and discerning, and feel like you're doing pretty well in some of those areas. But church, the world needs us to be doing good in all of those areas. If we are weak in one area, that's the area we're going to get attacked in. We must guard all of the fronts of our lives. We need to grow in our faithfulness in the midst of struggle. We must grow in our loving. We need to grow in wisdom and knowledge and grow in our discerning, to mature, to grow up in all of these things. And every single one of them begins with the simple step of simply denying ourselves, taking up his cross, and following after him. And Jesus, help me in this. Help me grow. Help me look and act and talk and love more like you today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful, Lord, for how it has the power to change us and transform us. Lord, your word doesn't change. Forgive us for ever asking you to change. Forgive us for coming in contact with you and thinking we know better. Lord, help us to trust in you, to trust in your word, and become the kind of church you have called us to be. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.